Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
I'm grateful to be in the house full of believers. I'm grateful to be in this place because God didn't, it's not by coincidence that you're here. It's not by happenstance that you're here. It's you're here by a divine appointment that you're here this morning. And so you're here this morning because God wants to do something in your life. And so you're here this morning because God's trying to do something in your spirit. You're here this morning because God's trying to move in your life. So we got to give God the opportunity to shift some stuff out of the way. Oh, Dante, we got some fire starters in here. We got some people that they don't mind praising God. They don't mind lifting up the name of Jesus. We got some people that's thankful in this building. We got some people that say that come hell or high water, I'm going to keep on standing in this building. We got some people in this building that don't mind standing for God. We got some people in this building that know that God is the one that woke them up. We got some people in this building that don't mind praising their Savior. The one that saved your black, dirty soul. The one that changed your life. Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm supposed to be preaching. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I don't know about your soul, but my soul cries out. Y'all don't want to praise him. Y'all don't want to praise him. I tell you what. We're going to praise him later. We're going to praise him later. You may have your seats. You may have your seats all over this building. If it had not been for Jesus. If it had not been for Jesus. Okay, sit down, y'all. I'm for real this time. Sit down. Pastor is watching us live. We love you, Pastor. Come on, give your hands. Clap your hands for Pastor. Gonna celebrate the man of God, the leader of this place. Thanking God for him. Welcome our internet audience. Come on, put your hands together. Welcome our internet audience. Let them hear you make some noise so they'll know I'm not in here by myself. But I thank God for all of you that are in this place. Thank God for every member, every potential member. Thank God for our visitors that are here. Amen. Thanking God for our praise team. Did not they sing this morning? Our anointed praise team and our anointed musicians. I love y'all. Thank y'all so much. And again, thank God for Pastor Kobe. He is away. I miss my baby. I miss my boo. So he left me here to hold down everything. So I'm going to hold it down the best I can. And he will be back directly. Be back directly. All right, if we can stand for the reading of the scripture. The The reading of the scripture is going to be for one verse. It's going to be real quick, so I'm giving everybody an opportunity to stand. It's going to be real fast. I didn't want your standing to be in vain. And we'll be reading the scripture from Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 27. The New Century Version of the Bible. And it reads, "Do not give the devil a way to defeat you. Do not give the devil a way to defeat you." And so in this morning, I want to minister from the topic, don't block the flow. God, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. God, we thank you for your presence that is already here in this building. We pray that you will have your way this morning. God, the people came because they need you. The people came because they come looking for you, expecting the move of God. I pray that you will bless your people, that you will encourage your people, allow them to walk out these doors and to never be the same. I pray, God, that you'll allow the power of God to hit this building like never before. We pull on the Holy Ghost this morning because we need something from God. God, I've done my study and I've done what I was supposed to do. And God, you say that I shall speak whatever you give me to speak. And God, I pray that the Holy Ghost will stretch out in me and that the word of God will become alive in me. Because God, I need you to be able to help your people, to encourage your people, and to lift your people up this morning. And I can't do this thing without you. And I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may have your seats. So my assignment this morning is to simply deliver what God has placed in my heart for this very moment. And it's just to simply remind you that the devil comes up against our lives to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so no matter how far-fetched your situation appears to be and how hopeless it may seem, God is letting us know today that do not give the devil a way to defeat you. And so God is letting us know that we have to be sober and that we have to be vigilant, being able to recognize the enemy before he strikes. Because we don't know. We know that the devil is coming. We know that the devil knows how to show up, and he knows how to show up on the scene. He knows how to start stirring up some stuff in your life with trials and tribulations and various circumstances. He knows how to show up. And so what we have to do is we have to be sober. We have to be able to recognize when the enemy is showing up in our lives, when the enemy is doing something in our lives, to be able to start up some type of confusion and be able to distract us and to get us off of course. But we have to know that if we trust in the plan of God for our lives and get connected to God, that there's nothing that the enemy can do to knock us off course. And so the God wants to encourage us on today to let you know that don't let the enemy defeat you. No matter what you are going through right now, don't let the devil defeat you. Don't let the devil disturb you. Don't let the devil knock you off course and cause you to be all so overworked and up. You know how you can get so intense when things start happening in your life? There's some type of circumstances that happen in your life to have your pressure up, your head hurt, you can't sleep, you're walking the floor, you're trying to figure out what in the world is going on, how can you resolve it, and how can this thing get better, and how can God show up on the scene and be able to help you out, because you know that God is an on-time God, and you start saying stuff, I know that it's nothing too hard for you, and God, I know that you can heal my body, you can give me some peace. You start saying all that you know to do, because the enemy don't came in like a flood, but how many know that the Spirit of the Lord knows how to lift up a standard? And so when God lifts up a standard in your life, we have to be able to embrace it. And so the standard is just reminding you of what God has already done in your life. So when you begin to reflect back over your life and everything that you've been through, you know that God has brought you out time and time again. And God has never let you down. He has never failed you. He has never dropped you. People may have dropped you. People may have abandoned you. People may have rejected you. People may have let you down. But God is the only one that would never let you down. And so he may not come when you want him to come, and he may not come the way you so desire him to come, but I want to let you know that Jesus Christ is on the way. He's on the way, but while he's on the way, he's trying to let you know to be sober. To be sober and to be vigilant, because there are some moments in your life when you have to recognize the enemy of distraction. And so when the enemy of distraction starts coming up in your life, you have to know that those things are coming up in your life to pull you away from the things of God. And so when it begins to pull you away from the things of God, pulling you out of the house of God when you're supposed to be in church, now you're home doing something else, or now you're out of place, you're in another place, and you're supposed to be here in the house of God because God has a word just for you. But thank God you made it this morning. Thank God that even though the enemy tried to distract you, the enemy tried to allow you to not be here this morning, but thank God that you made it. You made it here safe. No car accidents, no speeding tickets, hopefully. But you know, you made it here on time. We thank God, hopefully. But we thank God for all of that, because God has a word in the house today just for you. And so if the word of God may not be for you, but I'm trusting and believing that the word is for somebody. And so God wants us to be able to recognize the enemy of distraction. And so when we begin to get distracted in our lives, don't you get off course. Don't you feel discouraged. Don't you feel like throwing in the towel. Don't you feel like giving up. Don't you feel like giving up on all your hope. All hope is gone. But that's when Jesus Christ wants you at your weakest moment. Because somebody once said that when you begin to hit rock bottom, he wants you to know that he is the rock at the bottom. And so God wants you to be able to discover who he is, that he is your rock, he's your savior, he's your mind regulator, he's your peace in the middle of everything. And whatever's going on in your life, God has you. God say that never will he leave you nor forsake you. And we have to understand that the word of God stands true. And God said that he's not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of man that he shall repent. And so we got to understand that when the word of God says something and we read it in the word, that it settles it. We don't have to believe it. We don't have to pump ourselves up. If God said it in his word, we have to believe what God has said. And so what the enemy does, he tries to make sure that he knocks you off course, because he want to hold you back from the presence of God. He want to hold you back from receiving all of the things that God so desired to do in your life, because he's trying to block the flow of receiving what God has for you in your life. And so we have to understand that we cannot block the flow. We have to let God know that we cannot. We have to let the enemy know that we cannot afford to even allow any type of blockage in our Holy Spirit, any type of blockage in what it is that God is doing in our lives. We have to make sure that we remain a consistent flow between God to us and between us to God. And so making sure that we don't get distracted and pulling away from the things of God. And so it sometimes it doesn't even have to be those things that are big, and it doesn't have to be something big, no big circumstances. It's the small foxes that spoils the vine. It's the little things that comes up in your life. It's the little things that happens in your life, and it start evolving to something big. And we get so distracted by the little things. We get distracted by social media. We get distracted by our favorite TV show. We get distracted by our favorite team. We get distracted by things that our favorite shopping. You know, we see stuff on sale and we get distracted. We could be studying our Bible, then all of a sudden a sale pop up and we're clicking on it trying to figure out what dress we gonna wear, what shoes we gonna wear. And we're trying to figure out what it is that they doing when God wants us to figure out what he's doing. So it's the little things. Even right now, some of us may be getting distracted. We thinking about food right now. Think about how hungry we are, how long she's going to preach. Is she going to preach for an hour like pastor? Or is she going to preach the whole hour? Maybe she's going to do an hour and 45. I was thinking more like two. But no, just playing. But see, that was a distraction. Y'all was trying to figure out what in the world I was going to do. So it's the small foxes that spoils the vine. It's the small things that happens in your life to try to pull you away from the things of God, because we could be reading our Bible and all of a sudden, you know, we start getting hungry. We want a snack. We want to get up and get a snack. And then one thing that happens to us all, and I'm guilty of it too, it's like the sleepy dust just start sprinkling over your head. You're trying to get past that one verse, and the sleepy dust just started rolling. And next thing you know, you knocked down and you don't know how long you've been asleep. You don't know what verse you was on. You was halfway through and you got to read it all over again. It's a small foxes that that spoil the vine. Maybe that might not be your struggle. You may say, lady, see, I know how to read my Bible. I can read for hours. God bless you. I want some of that anointing. I want some of that. I want some of that. But we have some people to where their small fox is excuses. And so they give excuses as to why they can't be in the house of God. I can't be in the house of God because my stomach hurt. I can't be in the house of God because my head hurt. I can't be in the house of God because I feel a little woozy. I can't be in the house of God because I'm tired. I've been working all day. I've been working on my full-time job. I got this. I got my babies. I got this, that, and the other. I got to go to practice. I got to go to baseball practice, soccer practice, all these kind of practices. And then when you get to the house of God, we have a whole bunch of excuses. But when it comes down for God to bless you, we don't want no excuses. We want God to show up right on time. We want God to be able to show up when it comes to us and the things that we so desire. And so, and I'm guilty of it too. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm tired, but I still try to make it to the house of God unless something happens to where I cannot make it to the house of God. I know that there are circumstances where some people really cannot make it. You have to work and things of that nature, and some people cannot make it to the house of God. But God bless you. I'm talking for the ones who are able, the ones that can make it, the ones that's nothing wrong, and they can make it to the house of God, but they make excuses of how tired they are. But I stand here and I be watching the man of God preach the gospel, and he preach it tirelessly. He preach it out of his soul, and he not once complain about how tired he is. And you may say that he, I'm not the pastor, but you a servant. You don't have to be a pastor. You just to be a servant. And so, and this is not even what I'm supposed to be preaching about, but maybe it's somebody in the house that has to hear it, that God wants us to not make so many excuses as to why we can't do certain things for God. And so we have to make sure that we don't allow those little foxes to spoil the vine. We have to make sure that we make sure that whatever it is that God is, that the enemy is putting in our path. Let me slow down. So where the enemy is putting in our path, we have to make sure that where it's not a distraction to be able to knock us off course. It's not a distraction, because all of the distractions don't have to be a sexual distraction. It's not fornication. It's not adultery. It's not always that. But we can have those minor distractions, which I was already talking about. And so what it is, the enemy tries to pull us back to our old nature and being that person that we used to be. And so he tries to remind us of who we used to be, or you know that you was this, or you know that you was that. And so he tries to remind us of who we were. But how many know that we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb? And so God has made us over. And so God has changed us, and God has set us free from those past habits and those old things that we used to face in our lives. And so we cannot allow our past to have access to sabotage our future. Because what it is when we get so bogged down with our past, it begins to roll over and begins to spill over into our future. And so now it sabotages our future, because we cannot forgive ourselves for the things that we have done in our past. That was a mouthful, but I got it out. So the enemy tries to always remind us of who we used to be. And so the more he tries to remind us of who we used to be, it creeps over into our future. And so when we used to be this, people always refer to us as that. When you see somebody in the street, they always say, oh, that's the one that was on drugs, the one that was on crack, the one that was the alcoholic, oh, the one that was the womanizer, oh, the one that was doing this, the one that was sleeping with all those men, the ones that was doing this. Oh, you talking about that person? Yes, no, I'm talking about the child of God. I'm talking about the man of God, the woman of God, the one who's Jesus Christ saved, he delivered, he set them free. And if Jesus Christ can forgive us, why is it so hard for us to forgive people? Because Jesus has forgiven us for so many things that we've done in our past. And if we think about those things, because the enemy brings those things back to our remembrance, the enemy brings those things back to us. But God doesn't want us to stay stuck there, but we're supposed to reflect on it to be able to appreciate what God has brought us from. And when we appreciate what God has brought us from, we're supposed to press forward and to go forward in the things of God, to knowing that, hey, if come hell or high water, if somebody else is falling down the pit, and if I look at somebody else and see that they have the same look in their eyes and the same look in their spirit the way that I had. I'm supposed to reach back and to grab somebody else. And so God didn't deliver you for you to set on your praise. God did not deliver you to be able to set on your testimony. God did not deliver you for you to be able to sit down on it. But God delivered you so you can give him some glory. God delivered you so he can be able to have life and have it more abundantly. God delivered you so you can be able to stand when you've done all to stand. You can be able to tell somebody else that, baby, you can make it. You can make it if you don't fail. You can make it if you don't give up. You can make it if you can keep on pressing. You can make it because Jesus Christ did it for me and he can do it again for you. Because we have to understand that even though the distractions may come, the enemy may come, but we got to know how to stand. It's by the grace of God that you're not the same person. It's by the grace of God that you're not the person that you used to be. It's by the grace of God that God changed your conscious mind and changed the way you think and changed your hangout spots and changed the people that you hung around with. It's by the grace of God that you change. It's by the grace of God that you no longer associate yourself with the same kind of people. It's by the grace of God that you're no longer doing the same old thing you used to do. It's by the grace of God. Something about the grace. It's something about the grace. It's something about the mercy. It's something about his power. It's something about the anointing. It's something about the grace of God. Because when the grace of God hits your life, it's something about when the grace of God hits your life. Because when you gave up on yourself, God didn't give up on you. When you threw in the towel for yourself, God didn't throw in the towel for you. He said that I know that she can make it. I'm rooting for her. I'm rooting for him. I know that she can make it. I know that he can make it. You're stronger than what you think you are. You're stronger than what you think you are. The enemy thing got you thinking that you can't make it, but the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Don't you allow the enemy to tell you that you cannot make it, that the distraction is going to take you out. You shall not be defeated. And so God is already telling you that you shall not be defeated. And don't you give the devil a way to defeat you by getting lost in your distractions, by getting lost in your past, by getting lost in the moment. Don't you let the devil take you out. Can't let the devil take you out. You can't allow circumstances to take you out. You can't allow your past mistakes and your past failures and your past struggles. You cannot allow that stuff to take you out by you reminiscing on the past of what you used to do. You reminiscing on how you did this and how you did that. You cannot get stuck in your past because now you got to fulfill your purpose in God. And when you fulfill your purpose in God, you got to reach back and grab somebody else. And you got to pull somebody else out of the fire. You got to pull somebody else out of the clutches of the devil. You got to pull somebody else out of the yoke of bondage. You got to pull somebody else out of the word curses. You got to pull somebody else out of their generational curses. You got to pull somebody else out. I'm pulling my babies out. I'm pulling my mind out. I'm pulling my babies out. I'm pulling my grandbabies out. I'm pulling my brothers and sisters out. I'm pulling my husband out. I'm pulling my sister out. I'm pulling my wife out. I gotta pull some people out. Don't you allow the devil to defeat you and your family. You gotta pull your whole lineage out. You gotta fight fire with fire. When the enemy comes up against you, you have to let the enemy know that Jesus' words stand forever. You got to let the devil know that the Jesus that you serve, he has all power in his hand. He has all power in the name of Jesus, that God has all power. But my question to you is, do you possess the power? Does Jesus Christ lives in you? If Jesus Christ lives in you, you have the power. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ is already in you. And so if God is already in you, and you're allowing the enemy to make you feel that you are losing, that's making God feel that he doesn't have the power. Because how can he live in you and you live a defeated life? How can he live in you and you allow the enemy to defeat you? How can you say that Jesus Christ is your Savior and he's the one that washed your mind and made you clean, but you allow the enemy to defeat you? You're letting the devil walk over you. You're letting the devil bombard your mind, telling you that you're nothing, telling you that you will never prosper, telling you that you will always be broken, you will never have anything, telling you that you will always be stuck in this situation, telling you that your situation will never become better, that you will never become better. But if you possess the power, you can call on the